Okay, the Chazar is going to be broken down into two parts. First, we're going to try to finish up Hilchos Milah. So we the first Chabur we went through Reish Samach Dalet. Now we're picking up with Reish Samach Hei and Reish Samach Vav. And then, as time permits, we'll try to do the highlights of Hilchos Geirus. Okay, it's a way of introduction to dedicate this year in memory of Moira Rabbi and Rav Elimelech Ben Moshe, who under whose tutelage I had the opportunity to learn Hilchos Nida for the first time and Hilchos Avelus, and certainly was instrumental in implanting a certain ahava, not just for Lamdus, but also the importance of going sif to sif in Shulchan Aruch in terms of gaining enormous ideas. He was also the inspiration for my one and only article that I ever published in the Beis Yitzchak on Hilchos Peis, because that was a paper we had to write for his topics in Yoredeya class that was given on Friday. So I just wanted to look into that topic, so he inspired me to write it up, and then I put it into the Beis Yitzchak. After that, I retired. Okay. Let's begin. Reish Samach Hei is primarily about, shall we say, the Orach Chaim part of Hilchos Milah, the brachas, and what kinds of brachas are recited, when they're recited, and what do you do in special events such as fast days and so on and so forth. What do you do with the wine, and who drinks it, or is there a cup? So just to summarize again, some of the there are a lot of details in this siman, a lot of them dealing with various minhagim, some of which are practiced by everyone, some by only certain communities. So those items we're really not going to focus on. I just wanted to focus on that which has, a deeper halachic analysis, as pointed out by the Nosei Kelim. So the first major topic is exactly when the brachas are recited. So we know that on Milah, there are three brachas. Minig Yisrael has it that we add on a fourth, Bar Pir Gofen, which is said in conjunction with the right before the third. But Mikra Adin, there are really three brachas. Al HaMilah, which is recited by the Moyel, whoever that is, whether it's the father or whether it's a separate person. And as we noted already earlier in Sif Beis, there's a discussion whether the Nusach of that bracha is Al HaMilah for everybody, or it's Al HaMilah for everyone but the father. But if the father's doing it, then it's Lamul, which is the Shitas HaRambam. So the Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, and the Ramah quotes the other opinion, which is the common Minhag Ashkenaz, that you always say Al HaMilah, even if the father's the Moyel. That's based on a Sugim Psachim, in terms of when you say Lamul and when you say Al HaMilah. In general, when you say Al Bir Chametz or Levaris Chametz, so on and so forth. That bracha is fairly straightforward because everyone agrees that it's recited beforehand, just like any other mitzvah, that the bracha should be recited beforehand. Now here it's interesting that the Chochmas Sodom is critical of those Moyalim who recite the bracha as they have already begun to cut, because the proper practice, as we have for all mitzvahs, is first, again, there are exceptions, but the general rule is, first you say the bracha, and only then are you mekayim the mitzvah. You don't start being mekayim the mitzvah, first you say the bracha. So the, and that, I haven't really observed that nekuda as to what the Moilim are generally doing, but I think that is the common practice, that they first say the bracha totally, first they scream out Bris Kodesh, at least amongst many of the Moilim, and then they say the bracha totally, and then they cut. I mean, the whole cut takes a second, because they're not using a Bronstein clamp or any kind of, you know, Inquisition-like stuff where you're going to cut around. They just, everything's set up, and that's it. Chop, gone. Finished. 1 second. But they do usually, I think, finish the bracha beforehand. The Aruch HaShulchan tries to justify the other practice. He has a whole discussion why that should be, but I the Minhag HaOlam is like the Chochmas Sodom. I think we're just going to leave it at that. Unlike the Moilim in his day, I think the common practice is they corrected that practice to say the bracha but totally before. But the bracha l'achniso, so that's already a massive discussion in the Rishonim as to when it's supposed to be recited. Apparently, the history of it is recorded by Tosis. I think it's in Rav Elazar de Mila. Might be also as well, that the old minhag was to recite Lachniso Bevriso Shel Avraham Avinu, which is the bracha of the father, to recite it after the Maisa Hamila, and after the Priya as well. Again, keeping in mind that in the classic Mila, at least in many communities, was Mila and Priya as separate acts. So after they would finish the act of Priya, so then and only then would the father say the bracha. And the Rashbam came along and said, hey, wait a second, this is a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's structured like a Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher Kiddushanu, Mitzvot V'Tzivanu. So just like the Bracha of Ala Mila is recited before the act of Mila by the Moel, so too the father, who's the one who says Lachniso normally, we'll see later what happens if there's no father, or he's not around. So the Bracha of Lachniso is recited, should be recited rather, beforehand. Oiv L'Asiyasan. And so he changed the minig. At least that's the way it's recorded in Tosfos. And he insisted that you have to recite beforehand. Then Rabbeinu Tam, who generally was more of a traditionalist in preserving at least texts in the Gemara, right? He also had a big machlok with him about how free you should be in changing your souls. I'm sorry? Yeah? Okay. This I gotta leave to the halachic historians. But I thought from Girsos, though, no? Either way, let's leave that. No, not for now. But the Rabbeinu Tam was Machzer Atar Yoshna. That's actually a pun here. Okay, so he had the Bracha recited afterward. Now, the Rishonim give different svaras as to what should be the basis of reciting it afterward. After all, isn't the Rashbam right? It's a Birchas HaMitzvah, should be recited afterward. It should be recited before, excuse me. So there are two svaras that are quoted. I think Tosfos has one version, and the Ran quotes a different understanding of that shita. The one quoted by Tosfos is that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah in which you are dependent on other people. And therefore, there's always a possibility that the Mohel, after you already recited the Bracha, will turn to you and say, how much are you paying me for the Mila? Not good enough. Goodbye, get another Mohel. So then you're left high and dry, because I'm just joking a little bit, but you know, the Mohel might not do it. The Mohel might not do it. So if you're dependent on a Talib Yad Acherim, so the logic being that such a Bracha should be recited only once you're sure that the mitzvah had been done. Those who learn Masechta Kiddushin, Aksuvis, whatever, familiar with the Shitas HaRavid, who has a very similar analysis in terms of the Birchas HaErisin, that since the Chasan is dependent on the Kala to receive the ring, so even though Ravid assumes that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah as well, as does the Rambam, but the Rambam says you say it, but the Birchas HaErisin before. The Ravid says afterward, because since you're dependent on the Kala, so it's only after you give her the ring that you can be sure that you're able to Mekayim this Mitzvah, so then you make the Bracha then. So here, the Rabbeinu Tam, one version of it is that that's why we would say Lachniso afterward. The way the Ran explains this idea of saying the Bracha afterward is that it's a Birchas HaShevach. The Birchas HaMitzvah is recited by the Moel. The father is reciting a Birchas HaShevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to be machnes the son to the bris. As we mentioned earlier from the Aruch HaShulchan, that Mila is not just a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. It's entering the child into the totality of the bris of Torah mitzvahs, which is why we say, K'shem Shinuch the bris, K'shem Yikach Yikon Estorach L'masim Tovim. So, perhaps it's, I hope we're not going too far afield by saying, you know, similar to some of the terminology the Rav used to use, that it's a Birchas HaShevach on the chalois of the fact that the child has been brought into the bris. So that's only relevant, or is more relevant, after it's done, as opposed to beforehand. So, of those two svaris, the one that is discussed by the Nosei Kelim is the first one. The Taz and the Shach don't really stress that Birchas HaShevach angle. They just speak about the fact that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, but nonetheless, you recite it afterward according to the Rabbeinu Tam because of the fact that you're Talib Yad Acherim. So the Rush also went with that first reason, first version within Rabbeinu Tam, the reason for saying it afterward, and following in the footsteps of his illustrious Rebbe, the Merami Rutenberg, so he tried to be yotzi all the shittas. And how to be yotzi all the shittas? So he suggested to say it in the middle, between Mila and Priya. What do you gain by that? Because after the Moel did Mila, it's extremely unlikely that he's going to back out and not do the Priya. Once he already did the Mila, he'll do the Priya. But nonetheless, since the Priya is not done, and as we learned earlier, that if you do Mila without Priya, it's ke'il lo mol. To the extent that, let's say, you did a Mila and you left off the Priya, and then whatever, you went home and let the child heal for a month. And then now you did the Priya, so you're going to make another bracha on that. Because it kol hamol, mol velo para kilo lamol. So it's still over lasiyasan, at least partially, because you didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet, at least not totally. And nonetheless, there's no chash that the mol will back out. If you go with the Ran Svara, so then that Pshara L'chora is neither here nor there. But if you go with the Svara, with the first version of Ben Yatam, then it makes sense. So this Cheshbon is quoted briefly by the Shach and the Taz Mor Barichus. Based on that logic, the Taz writes, then what if the father is doing the Mila? So if you went with the version number two of the Rabbeinu Tam, like the Ran, so then you should say Lachniso afterward. But if you go with version number one of Rabbeinu Tam, that the only reason you're saying it afterward is because you're Talib Yad HaCherim. Well, if the father is the Moil, then he's not Talib Yad HaCherim. And he, the Mavarech of both Al Hamila and Lachniso, because the father's doing it, he says both brachas, even though that's a discussion in the Rishonim, maybe you only say one then. But we passing, he says both. He's certain he's going to do it. So in that case, he should recite both brachas beforehand. The later Svarim quoted, that's the minig, like the Taz. And the Taz brings a smile to your face. The Taz says, and that's what I did at the Mila of my son. I paskin, and that's what I did when I was the moil of my own son's bris. The Taz gives another reason for that also, that it's just practically. If you're the father, and you're not the moil, so you're going to say, if you're the moil also, so you're going to say Alamila, and the way they did it, at least in the days of the Taz, there was two steps, not Mila and Priya Vasachas, didn't do it together. So you're going to say Alamila, cut off the Ora Orla, and then the blood's going to fill there, and then you're going to be saying Lachniso, and then you're not even going to find the skin of the Priya. So it's going to be very difficult to do. For practical reasons, you're not going to be able to say the Bracha of Lachniso in the middle. So that would be a pragmatic reason why to say it before. But the Iker reason, L'chor, is based on this whole Cheshbon, that since the only reason you're not saying it beforehand, according to this approach, is because you're Talib Yad HaCherim, and you're not Talib Yad HaCherim. But Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal, I think, is one of the... I haven't really seen others discuss this, but he raises the issue. So wait a second. We do Mila and Priya, B'vas Achas, in many, many Milas. So what's going to happen with this Pshara? With this compromise, they're cutting off everything both together. So there is no in-between. So I remember Rav Shechter Shlita on a tape, the IBC tape on Mila. So he said, so we have no choice. So we go back to what most Rishonim say, which is you do it afterward. There is no in the middle. So there is a practice that Moalim have. You'll probably note it at the next bris if you haven't observed it yet. That the Moel is going to instruct the father, as soon as I finish my bracha, you start saying your bracha. Why? What's the rush over here? Mamonoshech. If you're going to say it all before, so let the father say it, you know, with him or whatever. Actually, no, not going to say it with him, because he wants to get the Amen. So one way to understand that is because he wants him to say it before him, but then the Moel should wait till the father's finished and then cut. But that's not what happens. The Moel tells the father, as soon as I'm saying my bracha, you start yours, and then the moil goes to work while the father's saying it. So what's pshat? So l'chor, that's based on that tshuva of Moshe. Rav Moshe addresses this issue, that how are we going to fulfill the pshara of the rosh if you do mila and priya v'asachas? So he says that most probably what's going to happen is the following. If the father starts saying the bracha as soon as the moil finishes his bracha, so father's nervous too. So by the time the father gets out the baruch, or certainly by the time he finishes the baruch, or he's even anywhere near a few words, the moil has already begun to cut. Right? So that's already rush-like. It's not really milan priya, but it's the same svara. It's the svara of the rush that you're saying the bracha when you cut a little bit, so the moil's not going to back out. So you get, but you're still getting over l'siyosin. Not quite, especially if the father's a chassid, you know, and he's going to say, Lachnisa, Ivavisa, Shalram Vinu. So by the time he's done, you know, the bandage will already be on. But still, at least you get the beginning of the bracha in beforehand. Something along those lines. So that's what Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva. So we try to preserve this minig as much as we can. Rabbi Shechter, he didn't quote that tshuva. He just said, whatever, say it after. I guess he was being more real to what goes on. Rav Moshe hopes you can get it in the middle. Okay, this is Sif Aleph. Now, what happens if there's no father? A little more in Sif Aleph. So the Rambam writes, no father, so you don't do it. The bracha is the bracha on the father. It's the special bracha at the mitzvah of the father, lamol es ha-bein. To be machnesim l'bris. Parenthetically, certainly what to be explored here in terms of our whole discussion about when the father appoints a moel to do the mila, we had a whole discussion. Is the father giving up his mitzvah? Is he appointing a shliach? Is he getting the mitzvah done? So I understand. So in a typical bris where there's a moil, so the father's saying a birchas mitzvah here, right? Lachnisa vishno avinu. Sounds like he's being makayim a mitzvah, that at least it is nitan l'shlichus, or that the nature of the mitzvah is to be masader the bris. If you go with the Shach's approach, based on the Rosh that the Ktzais made famous, that you have to do it yourself, and if you can't do it, then you point the moil. So what are you doing making the bracha? So you got to discuss that. As to, this might be a raya, at least the Rambam agrees that Shlichus works here, or that the nature of the mitzvah is to masader it, because the Rambam holds that if there's no father, then no one says the bracha. But what do you mean? Well, what if there is a father? But so the moil's doing it. The father gave up the mitzvah. So apparently for the Rambam, when you appoint a moil, you're not giving up the mitzvah. Right? There will be another raya. We had another raya beforehand from the Shechiyonu, from the Gra quoted the name of the Rambam. But here's another raya. The Rambam holds that the father is not giving up his mitzvah by appointing a moil. Either it's a shliach or he's getting it done. Nonetheless, the Rambam himself quoted another opinion, which he rejects. But that's the way the Ramah paskins. That when there's no father, so then a representative of the Kohol says it. In other words, the chiyuv is devolving now on the Beis Din. We had a whole discussion. What does the Beis Din mean? Does it mean actual Beis Din? Does it mean any Jew, etc.? Is it Tzibur? So someone stands in. So the Ramah writes that the most common practice when there's no father is that the Sandik will say it. I'm not sure whether, you know, it could be the one of the Mechabit somebody else in such a case, but the Ramah writes that the standard practice is the Sandik says it. But that's going with the approach that the father is not the only one who could say it, and that bracha can be recited when you're being Mekayim, Nemila, Betoras, Bezdin as well. Okay. We mentioned already the differences in Sif Beis between the Nusach of the bracha, and I believe we also mentioned, when we discussed the idea of Atavas Dambris, that you don't make a bracha on Atavas Dambris. Simply speaking, because Atavas Dambris is only done Misafik, because of Safik or Lakrusha, and therefore no bracha is made. There is a discussion in the poskim, with the Shach quotes this earlier in Simen Reish Samach Gimel, I believe, that if it's nire kivada nire kaor lakvusha, then you will make a bracha. I don't know what these words mean, so I could just say what it says. It says, in other words, if it's a suffik or lakvusha, so then you don't make a bracha. But if it looks pretty clear that there is an or lakvusha, then you do. As I mentioned before, it's hard to come to grip. What does this mean? What do the words mean? What do you mean? Does nire kaor lakvusha mean the skin there? So you're peeling off skin? So what does that mean? So you're scraping off on... these are the words. That if it's nirek vada, nirek arla kusha, you do make a bracha. To be machal Shabbos for it, that you need vadai arla, or vadai arla kusha. I don't know what those words mean either. But for a bracha, all you need is nirek arla kusha. But in general, a noilid mohol is a suffik arla kusha, so there's no bracha. There are other situations when you do not make a bracha on the bris, and that's for an androgynous, of course, very rare. And there's some curious tshuva from Yaakov Emden who had some kind of case of an androgynous. Okay, that's a curiosity. But of course, on other children, we do make the bracha, including when the child is not a regular birth. That's only relevant for Shabbos, but everything else about the bris is the same. Yotzei Dofen, and so on and so forth. There are more rites when you bash the job. If you didn't do priya, you left tzitzim hama'akvim, and now you do, and you're taking care of that at a later day, you also make a bracha. Now, as long as you want yotzei the mitzvah, so you got to say the bracha. You got to say it again, even though you said it the first time. First time is bracha levatal. Okay, now we turn to a discussion of what do you do. We're going to skip a little bit, come back. And sif hey, what do you do when you have twins? Or what do you do when you have two milas in the same time, the same shul? So this is a machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim maintained that the proper practice is to separate the two, because of Einois and Mitzvahs, Chavilos. Shouldn't package deal, make one bracha on both brisim. However, that is not the Pesach of the Mechaber, to the extent that the Mechaber does not even quote the other opinion. The Mechaber paskins like those Rishonim who hold that when you have two brisim at the same time, it's one set of brachos. So pragmatically, what that would mean is you recite the Alamila and the father, or the separate fathers, if we're not dealing with twins, they recite Lachniso, whenever that is, between the meal and the priya of the respective child, or afterward, or whatever the case is. And then you make one asher kidash you did me beten, which is the third bracha, which we didn't really elaborate upon, but that's the third, that's clearly a birchas hashevach, which is said afterward, and that's said al hayayin. So that is said after both milos are done. So again, the ala meal, as we said before, lachniso, presumably between the meal and the priya of each respective child, and each father saying it. If there's one father, so presumably he's going to say it between the meal and the priya of the first one, and he's going to have no braver, that's going to count for the second, overlas yosin. I guess that would be the way to go here. It's not really spelled out. I just realized as I'm talking that's a little bit of a sticky point. And then Ashikide said afterward, as long as you finish the Nkuda, don't take a question. So the Taz and the Shach already raised the point that even though that's the Psak that we accept, yes, in other words, not like those we've shown him how worried about Enos Mitzchavil Chavilas, but there's a practical problem here. Because the Machaber writes that if you interrupt it, or you from Meisiach Das, so then you have to make another set of brachos. So therefore, the Shach writes that as a matter of policy, we're worried about interruption, and therefore we shouldn't follow the Shulchan Aruch. And you should separate, and you should make a hefsek in between. Someone told me they just had a bris in YU with twins, so that the father gave a drosha in between the two brisim. I'm sorry? Okay, either way, but to make some kind of hefsek between the two, so it shouldn't be a brachal vatala. But and the Taz is a little more hesitant. He says that if you're worried about hefsek, so then you should divide it up. But he's not as quick as the Shach is to just say, always do it that way. The Taz says, if you're worried about hefsek, then not. It might be a difference if it's two families, or, you know, it might be easier to avoid hefsek if it's twins, because same family, same crowd. Not necessarily a different crowd. The bottom line is that, as pointed out by Rabbi Artscroll, right, as evidenced by the book that the noted Moel, Rabbi Krohn, the Rav, Magid, and so on and so forth. So in the Sefer on Bris Mila, that apparently if you hire him as your Moel, so you get that Sefer free also. A perk. So it's a very nice sefer on halacha, hashkafa, divrei Torah, for father to say. So he has halachos in the back. So on the halachos in the back, that's what he says, that's our minik. He doesn't really discuss the other approach, because that is the common practice. I was told that there are those among in yeshiva circles who try to follow the psak of Shulchan Aruch, that when they have two brisim with twins or whatever, that they try to do it one. Someone told me Rabbi Yashiv held that way, and okay. The bottom line is that the common practice, at least on this side of the Atlantic, is that we separate the brachas. Okay. You had a question? Okay. Now let's go back to discuss the cup of wine that is recited, Bari Pergofen, and then Ashikida, as you did, and then you have the Shtia Sakos. So parenthetically, our practice is that we have quite a hefsik between the Bari Pergofen and the drinking. Because we say Bar Pergofen, and we say a bracha, Ashikidish did. And it's not as gevaldik as Kiddush and Havdalah, because Kiddush and Havdalah were misukan by Chazal. Here the Bar Pergofen is just a minig. But nonetheless, we assume that's ala kos, so it's not a hefsik. But then we go further. Then we say, Kayim Esayel Razeh, and we have Kriya Shem. And especially since usually that someone else is going to be saying it, right? You can't have the same person. You got to, you know, you got to have mileage if there are 30 people involved in the Mila. So it's going to be a little more of a hefsik. And then someone's going to drink. So you just got to be careful. We don't consider this as a hefsek, really, because it's all me'inyan hamila. But the one who's going to drink the wine should not be talking. And from the time that he hears the bracha, till then. Otherwise, he makes his own bracha. So what's going to be with that bracha? So then that bracha is a hanging bracha. So because of this, so some Rosh Yeshiva, I think they quote from a Moshe this way, that he had this practice. He wasn't afraid. After he finished the bracha, how does that end? I forgot how Ashikida. Is it Karis Abris? Is that how Ashikida Shkidash ends? So then he would drink, the way some Rishonim said, because they weren't so excited about the Kriya Shem going afterward. And then you go weiter. So the common practice is not that way. But with that common practice, it just is a hearis that the one who's drinking the wine should have in mind to be Yotzir Bracha and not be Mafsik, Bedibor, till he actually drinks it. Okay. Sometimes you're not allowed to drink the wine. So that's the problem. So this, the Mechaber at the end of Siv Dalid, for some curious reason, the Mechaber puts together of the bris of a mamzer together with the halachos of drinking the wine on a tainis. It's a little bit out of the ordinary here, but it could be a typo from the old print. I don't know. But so we're not going to focus on the mamzer. Mamzer, of course, gets a bris. He's a member of Mamzer Talmud Chacham Gadol Mekayin Gadol Amoritz, but then he's Doicha Shabbos also the Bris of a Mamzer the eighth day. But so what are you doing on a Tainis? So here we have a machlokes between the Mechaber, the Ramah, and maybe Minig Yisrael. I say maybe Minig Yisrael because the Shach quotes in Minig Yisrael that, and it's questionable whether or not we nowadays have followed that Shach. I haven't been at too many brisim b'chlal, and certainly not those on Tanaisim, so I can't verify whether the Shach's Minig is really kept or not. So let's go through the Shitas. The problem is the following. See, obviously the regular people there can't drink the wine. Sometimes the Yoledis could, because sometimes she's either sometimes she's Mesukenis. Usually not, because it's already day 8, so usually she's out of at least formal danger, unless she is in danger, unless she says she's in danger. That's the whole sliding scale. 3, 7, 30. 3, a Michal Shabbos for her, even if she doesn't need it, and 7, generally speaking, right? And it's a whole sheet on this. I don't remember exact details. But once you get to 8, unless there's a known sakana, so then allow her, you're not Michal for her, and Shabbos for her, and she can't eat on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, you don't really have an option to give to anyone, including the mother. So who are you going to give it to? So the other options are to give it to kids, or to give it to the baby. So the problem with giving it to kids is, on the one hand, great idea. On the other hand, you're worried of Shema, what's the expression of the Gemara? That they'll be misragil to do that when they get older. I'm the Shabbos goy. I'm the Yom Kippur goy. You know, so I eat on Yom Kippur. So Shema Yisrach, language of the Gemara. That's Rach Bita Vainida. I forgot the exact expression. That's what the Gemara says. Why we don't make Kiddush on Yom Kippur, right? And give it to a child then, because he's gonna grow up thinking they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So that's the negative side of it. So that's what the Mechaber writes. That's right. So that we're worried about that negative side, and therefore on Yom Kippur there's no Eitzah, so we just forget about the cup. And the same is true, says the Mechaber, on Tisha B'Av, because on Tisha B'Av, the Yoledes is also not eating. So that's what they ask on the Mechaber. What do you mean the Yoledes is not eating on Tisha B'Av? Even though for Yom Kippur, a Yoledes fasts generally after the seventh day, but on Tisha B'Av, the Mechaber paskins in Orach Chaim that the first 30 days after birth, the Yoledes does not have to fast, even on Tisha B'Av. There's a steer in Mechaber. There are two days, ultimately, that the Mechaber is reflecting in both places, whether Yoledes is fasting on Tisha B'Av or not. Here, in Yoreday, he's assuming she's not. So she's not, so no cup. And in Orach Chaim, he's assuming that she is. So she is, so then give the cup to her. But you don't want to give it to kids, because that you're worried about, that when they get older, so then they'll come to drink on fast days. What about on the other fast days? Well, on the other fast days, you have it easy, because on the other fast days, Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tzom Gedalia and Asar B'Teves, there the Yoledes for sure is not fasting. Again, according to the Ikar Adin, even for, if I'm not mistaken, right, correct me if I'm wrong, it's for 2 years they have, right? For 2 years they're not fasting, on at least with Zman HaGemara. Nowadays, the halacha might have changed, because they get healthier much, much, much faster. But with Zman HaGemara, they weren't fasting. So according to the Mechaber, basically the Yoledes is drinking the cup whenever she can, and when she can't, that's it, forget about the cup. So when she can is the other fast days, and when she cannot, according to the Mechaber here, is Yom Kippur Tisha B'Av. You can make a case that according to the Mechaber and Orach Chaim, at Tisha B'Av she should also drink. The Ramah has the following compromise. We'll be choshesh for those who are worried about the kids growing up thinking they could eat and drink on fast days on Yom Kippur, because that's a deraisa. But on Tisha B'Av and the other fast days, we're not going to worry about that. So instead of giving it to the Yoledes, even though you could if she's eating, but the minig is, he says, to give it to children. Right? So we'll get back to Yom Kippur in a second. We'll get back to Yom Kippur in a second. So here the Shach writes that in the places where he traveled, it's very interesting, the Shach writes of Achol HaMakomo Shehayisi, the slice of history here, because the Shach had to run away from the pogroms in 1648. The whole story about his daughter. He left his daughter under a tree. She was taken to a palace, right? So V'chol Makom Shayisi, you know, the Shach was around. You know, he got the different towns. So he writes that that's what they always do. They give it to kids all the time. Fast day, no fast day, always give it to kids. So that's what I pointed out, that I'm not sure. I don't think that that's the case. I think the more common practice is an adult drinks it, when you're not dealing with some issue of a fast day. So again, according to the Ramah, On the ordinary circumstances, of course, a adult will drink it. The Ramah writes the standard minig is to give it to the Sandik, although I think that's not practiced. Some person drinks it, either one who made the Bar Pigaf and someone else. And on a fast day, except for Yom Kippur, you give it to kids. What about Yom Kippur? So here, the Ramah says that, based on other Rishonim, it's a Mordechai, that we're not going to follow the Mechaber's Eitz of eliminating the Kos altogether. We're going to give it to the baby. So that's what the Ran says, the baby. What's a joke? And the baby's not listening, doesn't understand brachas, it's a bracha vatala. So that's what the Mordechai points out, based on our whole sugya of in Masechta Pesachim, about the fact that Gnayu Hamavarech Tzarech Sheyishte. When you make a bracha on a kos, you got to drink it. Shkoyach. When you make a shakol on an ice cream cone, you got to eat it. What do you mean Hamavarech Tzarech Sheyishte? So Rashi understands that Gemara to mean that's not a halacha in Birchas Hanehenin. That's a halacha in the, shall we say, the ritual aspect of the bracha. That it's a gnai, that when you make a bracha on a kosher bracha, that no one should drink it. What do you mean it's a gnai? If you're not going to drink it, it's a bracha vatala. So it sounds like that there's a certain formality. You say a kos, you say bar pregofen on a kosher bracha. Really, technically, you should be able to get away without drinking it. But gnai hula kos, That no one should drink it. So if that's the case, so it has to be drunk. It doesn't necessarily have to be drunk by someone who's yotzei the bracha. That's the approach the Mordechai is going with. It's a questionable approach, which is why the Ran says that if you do this trick, it's a bracha levatala. But that's what the Ramah says we rely on Yom Kippur, that we give it to the baby. So parenthetically, just going a little bit ahead, two halacha lemaises ahead to June, end of May, June, Hilchus Ishus and Seder Kiddushin. So this is very relevant to that whole debate about whether the Masadr Kiddushin has to drink of the wine of the Kos Shel Erusin. Because what we see from here is that, theoretically, you could have someone other than the Mavarech drinking the wine, even if the bracha that you're saying is only a minig. Right? This bracha of Erev Gafen is not in the Gemara. It's just a later minig. So even though it's only a minig, and you could have made a case that in such a case, you have to insist that the one who said the bracha should drink it, as someone to be machmir for the birchas ha'erusin. But here you see that me'ikar adin, we don't paskin that way. We paskin that anyone could drink it. The yoledes drinks it sometimes, according to the mechaber, or an orim ketanim. And according to the Ramah, in a extreme way, on Yom Kippur, even the baby. Okay. So again, that kula is based on that Rashi, the Rashi of the unique analysis of what that Gemara mean on Mavar Tzarech Sheyishte. Okay, the minig is to have 10 for the bris whenever possible. Certainly not ma'akev. It's not a davar shebekedusha. And the Tziv Zayin, the Mechaber quotes machlokis as to whether or not you say shechiyanu. So the Mechaber quotes Deis as follows, that when the father is doing the Mila, so he says Shechiyanu. And when someone else is doing the Mila, you do not say Shechiyanu. And the Rambam writes that the father always says Shechiyanu. So that psak of the Rambam, that is the standard minig among Sfardin, as far as I know, and also in Eretz Yisrael, because that's the way the Gra paskind, and the Talmidim of the Gra brought over that minig, that the father always recites Shechiyanu. The Ramah paskins that there is no Shechiyanu, and that's based on Tosfos. For a variety of reasons, they don't say Shechiyanu, either because of Tsar of the Tinok, or for other reasons, but Lamaisa, that is the standard Chutz La'aretz Minig Ashkenaz. Then the Ramah has a curious psak where he says that the only time the father will say Shechiyanu is when he's going to do a Pidyon HaBen later. So instead of saying the Shechiyanu on the Pidyon HaBen, let's back up the Shechiyanu to say it on the Mila, and it'll count for both. So it'll be Yotzei Al Shitas. So the Shach points out that he felt that the Ramah misread the Maharil that was based on, and that we don't follow that Ramah, which is the common practice, not like the Ramah. In other words, the father will never say Shechiyanu at the Bris, and when he has a Pidyon HaBen, he'll say Shechiyanu at the Pidyon HaBen, but not at the Bris. Okay, there's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, which is also Talia Machlokes Rishonim, but we paskin Lekul on this, that there's no need to cover up the Aver, even though normally you can't say a Bracha Bifnei Erva. But for two reasons, it's not a problem. First of all, because here you're doing the mitzvah on it. And B, because it's a katan. The nafkamin, of course, will be a ger. The meal of a ger, who's already above 9, when it does have halacha of erva. So there, It would depend on these two reasons. And lamaisa wa machmir. So there we are machmir. When you do the meal on a ger or an older child and have a bris, then you do cover it before the bracha. We discussed earlier the minhag of the father standing near the child in order lehodio shehu shlucho. So I just wanted to note that. But there's also another reason why the father stands there, in order to symbolize the fact that the bris milah is like a form of a korban. The sandik's knees become like a mizbeach, which is why the Sfarim point out that it's a great schus to become a sandik. And the father, so to speak, is like bringing his child as a korban l'Hashem. So the Gra quotes this, which is actually quoted by the Beis Yosef also. Here it's quoted by Kitzer, so that's why the Gra added it on. That the father is standing on his korban. Ef shel korban le korbano shel adam li karei vein bala korban oimin al korbano. Okay, let's skip the halachas of kisei Eliyo and so on and so forth. It's very important, but again, to save a little time, I'm not going to discuss that. Seudas mila is also a special inyan by bris mila. It's quoted by the early midrashim from Avraham Avinu that Avraham Avinu made a seudas mila for Yitzchak Beno. B'yom higomel, right, hey gimel. And there's a mitzvah to have a minyan there also, wherever possible. And here's where the Pitzchik Shiva quotes that, based on the Ramah writes that if you're invited to a Seudas mitzvah and you don't come, so that's menudel ha-shamayim. So the Pitzchik Shiva writes, that's why the minig is that people inform people that there's a bris. They don't invite them. So, because they don't want them to be benidui. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, you don't have to worry too much about this nidui, because it doesn't apply when there are people there who are not mehugonin. So he says, Mistama, Bismanenu, there are going to be people who are not mehugonin at any sort of mitzvah, so you could always exempt yourself. Okay. Rabbi Shechter mentioned on tape that it's very curious, because you got to check the girsa here. The Ramah says, Mishaino ochel besudas mila. But Pitzchei Tshuva quotes sudas mitzvah. Excuse me, 1 second. No, I got that wrong. That's a different line. I'm sorry. Forget about that. Off the tape. The Ramah quotes Suras Mila, but he quotes a Taisus in Arvi Psochim. So I didn't check the Taisus, but apparently the Taisus seems to extend that, I think, to all Suras Mitzvah. So Rav Shechter noted the same thing should apply to a wedding, so we should change the minig. We hereby inform you that our children are getting married. Okay, but maybe you can rely on the Aruch HaShulchan to ditch the wedding, right? That there'll be people there who are not mehugonim. Okay, good. Sometimes certain weddings, the other problems there also, to excuse yourself in the wedding. All right, yeah.
If a bris is on the tinus, when do you do the suda?
That's a very good question. I wasn't going to go into those details, as you mentioned briefly. Just look in the sefer bris. So the bottom line is that you do the suda at night, and there's a big, big deal about whether under what circumstances the parents, so the balei abris, father, mother, sandik moyel, those four people, when they have to fast or not. So let me just briefly, again, this is not officially on the Chomer, but you have on the side the Radvaz is quoted. There's a Tshuvas HaRadvaz in the margin here. I think the Miluim quotes the Tshuvas HaRadvaz. And this is the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins. So Bekitzer, when it's a tainus that's not nitche, the parents fast also. All the balei abris fast. And when it's a tainus ha-nitche, including even Tisha B'Av, so then the parents, the Balei Bris, and father, mother, Sandig Moyel, do not fast, and then there are different practices about Tisha B'Av, they have to wait till after Chatzos. And on the other fast days, so some wait till after Chatzos, some don't. There are many Shittas both directions. Some say that a father, mother, Sandig Moyel never have to fast on a Tainis except for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. And some say that even on a Tainis Nircha they fast. So, but the Mishnah Berurah has that hachra. On a tainus not nitche, everybody fasts. On a tainus nitche, then the balei bris don't fast, but everyone else does. And you have the seuda at night. And there's a Ramah who says that on a tainus esrit shenitche, kishana hazos, so then everyone eating at the bris could eat. And then they fast on Friday. Because tainus esrit is kind of a revolving tainus. It doesn't really have a set day. And there are others who argue on that Ramah also, that only allow the Balei Bris to break the fast and not for everyone there. So there are different minhagim there as well. Okay, but that comes up, and certainly need a psak on that when that comes up.
Does the Balei Bris have to make it up?
General, on the Tainis Esther? I believe on other Tanesim not, that's Beferish in the Poskim. On Tainis Esther, I don't remember the psak, but there's more room, even though it's more kal, to say yes, because it doesn't have a Yom Kavua. But then again, since they had a greater excuse, it could be that they were neschayiv. The other people who are eating, so really they should be fasting. Except, okay, since it's not kavua, so it'll be lova pareya. But the Baal HaRis have an excuse. All of this is discussed. Just give some Aram HaKoymus for brief. They have the Sefer HaBris, and also you have the Piskei Tshuvos, right? The companion volume to the Mishnah Berurah and Chelek Shishi. So he collects the poskim in this regard as well. Okay, we now turn to Reish Nachvav, which is the laws of Mila on Shabbos. Okay, so of course the first halach has to do with Saras, which you're not really going to focus on. It's not to do with Shabbos, but of course if the kid has Saras on the Orla, you cut it because Aseh Dochalos Aseh. If it's obviously, if it's a Mila because of Marasayin, so then you're stuck. It's only a rabbinic kind of Mila, it's not going to be Dochalos Saras. Alright, Baruch Hashem, I don't think we have Saras too much nowadays. Chofetz Chaim explains why, but you don't have to worry about it too much. Okay. Now we have the more important topic of relevant, I should say, halacha l'maisa, not more important, but more relevant halacha l'maisa, about Mila being doicha Shabbos. So the basic rule is yadua, v'yayim ha-shmini yimel b'sar alosai, v'yayim ha-shmini afil b'shabbos, and the same is true for yomtiv. What about a Mila shalob b'zmana? So we know that a Mila shalob b'zmana is not doicha Shabbos. So when do you do it? So this is the classic example of that, if you have a delay in the bris, so even if the green light is given medically or 7 days after the meisle, 7 meisleis after the medical clearance turns out to be on Shabbos, you have to delay the bris till the next day. Another case when you'll be delaying the bris to the next day if the child is born bein hashmashes, between Friday night and Shabbos, and then you can't do it Friday because it might be day 7. You can't do it Shabbos because it might be day 9. So then you got to push it off until Sunday. So here, again, even a little bit out of order, but once we're already discussing that, so let's just focus on that for a moment. And what's Bein HaShemashis? So obviously, to go through all the sheetahs in Bein HaShemashis is an exercise in futility, in general, and specifically now. Certainly, you have Riches Gedola on this, and here's an interesting point where the Sefer HaBris is a good reference tool for things that are just tangentially related to Mila, because they have a whole Kuntres on Zmanin. And of course, my rabbi, Rabbi Willich Shlita, has done a famous article on this in the Beis Yitzchaks, and I think in the Yevul HaYovlos on Zmanim. There's going to be another share on Zmanim about the effects of the daylight savings time, the anti-Semitic legislation in the Congress, okay? Great grain of salt, okay? So halacha l'maisa, so what's Bein HaShemashis? So we know that there's a famous machlokes between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam. The Gra has Bein HaShemashis as being somewhere between 13 and a half and 40 minutes, depending on your your geographical and seasonal time frame and place. And Rabbeinu Tam has Bein HaShemashis being something along the realm of 50 or more minutes. So, let's back that up a little bit. The Gra has Bein HaShemashis being, between 13 and 40. And it could be Rabbeinu Tam's going to have that also, but Rabbeinu Tam has a longer day. Right, for Rabbeinu Tam, the day doesn't end at Shkia, as opposed to the Gra. The day goes further until it gets really dark, and then you have Bein HaShemashis, and then you have Tzeis Kochavim. So how do we paskan on this? Halach L'mais is Negev for Brits, it's Negev for many areas as well. So here, the Shach quotes from the, in Sifkot Nir Aleph, from the Maram al Shachar. Of course, Negev for Purim too, because he's the famous one who spoke about the private Purim, right? Making your own Purim, which some poskim Menenu have brought up in terms of making new holidays nowadays, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, so on and so forth. Ayin Shem. So the Maram al Shachar writes here that what if the child is born on Friday, Bein HaShemashis, according to the Gra, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's still Friday day. So what do you do? Should you do the Mila on Friday, like Rabbeinu Tam, or should you do it on Sunday, according to the Gra? So he writes, Halacha l'maisa, you do it on Sunday. In other words, basically he treats it as a Sveika d'dina, and you have no choice but to follow a suffix. So you can't do it Friday, you don't want to do it Tochazman. So therefore you do it later. However, Halacha l'maisa, so the Piskei Tshuvos quotes, and I verified this with Poskim of the Yeshiva too, I spoke to Willig about this, that what the halacha of Bein HaShemashis is going to be with respect to Mila is going to depend on whether or not Rabbeinu Tam is part of your normal halachic cheshbonot. In other words, if you are a gronik, which is many, 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 if you just follow Gros straight for Kriya Shema, even for Shabbos. So if that's the case, the Rabbeinu Tam's not on your map. So if that's the situation, let's take a reverse scenario. A child is born, let's say 42 minutes Friday night after sunset. So that's clear, let's assume, Iker Adin, again, even within this dead day. But let's assume for now that that's clear, Seitz Kechavim for Gra, but it's Bein HaShemash, it's for Bein HaTam. So they have a reverse question. So if you ask them Ramal Shaker, he would tell you, Sunday Bris. So the Poskim say, when I say Poskim, I mean the Pitzkei Chuvis writes this as well, and I will verify this, that if Rabbeinu Tam's not on your map, so then he's not on your map. So that's it. So that's a Shabbos Bris. Rabbi Willig noted, practically speaking, that of course you are going to be at the mercy of the Moel, because the Moel might not want to be Michal Shabbos for your Shita, right? So, but, okay, so if that's what you want to follow, so get a Moel who's within your orbit. But if Rabbeinu Tam is within your orbit, as it is for many people, because even if you follow Rav Moshe Feinstein's 50 minutes, 5-0, which is a takeoff on Rabbeinu Tam, he felt the opposite from Rabbi Willig. Rabbeinu Tam is shorter in America, and not longer. So then it is a little bit in your orbit. So if you keep till 50, Chayk v'lo yavar, at least for the Oraisis, and the baby's born 42, so then you got a problem. So then you got to start assessing, is your 50 only a chumra with a bli neder, or is it a kind of maker a din as a chash? So that needs a shaila in terms of a Shabbos bris. Again, leaving aside the moel's kapedus, about what exactly is going to be the cutoff point. But the basic rule of thumb is that if Rabbeinu Tam is within your halachic framework, that you're choshish for it in other areas, so you got to be choshish for it for Mila too. Parenthetically, I wanted to mention, I think it's a mitzvah lefarsing, because I think there are many who have this kula, and it's a questionable kula if you don't have Rabbeinu Tam in your orbit. Rav Moshe has a famous kula where 9 minutes after Shkia, you could use a Sfek Sveka to consider as if it's still Yom or Laila, you know, actually, 9 minutes after Shkia would be Sfek Sveka, that's still Yom. The most famous application of that is a Hefsik Tara, 9 minutes after the Shkia, to consider that as done the day before. So Rav Moshe verified to Rabbi Eider, who had a whole Shaka Vatarium on this, that my Kula is only valid for the 50-minute Jews. In other words, the one who follow my Shita, Rabbeinu Tam, or more. But for those who already are in their cars at 43, you know, at the crack of Havdalah, the Davening Ma'ariv, you know, to the wire, and then they're out, so then Rabbeinu Tam is not in their orbit. So of course they can't rely on the 9 minutes, because the 9 minutes is based on a Sfek Sveka of Rabbeinu Tam, but for them it's not a Sfek Sveka. So Rabbi Eider wrote, but there's so many Jews in Eretz Yisrael who follow Gra, so he writes, okay, so they don't have my Kula. And then not only that, who gave them the right to follow the Gra? And he has a whole tshuva where he writes that only the Talmidim of the Gra could follow the Gra. And only the Talmidim of the Talmidim of the Gra could follow the Gra if those Talmidim were able to arrive at the Gra's conclusions on their own. There's a whole mahalach in Psak, a very scary mahalach. That we're going to leave. That you only have a right to rely on some shita and not choshish for the other shitas. If you yourself were independently able to arrive at that at a later date, then you can give it over to your Talmidim. Otherwise, just the one who asked the Shaila could rely on it. So I asked Rabbi Shechter about it. He thought that we go a different way in that. But Lamaisi has that curious critique of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael who are very, very much following the Groh. He says, who gave the right to do that? Even though Eretz Yisrael, we know, the Talmidim of the Groh, yeah, but now it's already Talmidim, 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 Talmidim. Okay, that said, I just note that just because, you know, a lot of Rabbanim rely on those 9 minutes. Just providing some food for thought here, that maybe you have to start asking your questioner. There might be other reasons to rely on the 9 minutes, but that's not Ramosha's angle. He has a different sheet on that. So Halacha L'maaseh, again, what emerges here is that both for Shabbos and for the week too, will delay a bris if it's Bein HaShemashis, or at least Suffolk Bein HaShemashis, within the sheetas you're being choshish for. Again, the exact minutage is going to depend on the region and the Zmanei Hashana. So certainly it's kedai to brush up a little bit on the Zmanei Hayom before ruling in a matter of when the bris should be. You have to consult with Rabbanim who are familiar with it. Okay, now, once we're ready in the topic of Bein HaShemashis, so I just wanted to mention a little bit of a carryover from something we mentioned earlier, because it's a Pischei Tshuva that quotes the Yaivitz, and this is in Simen. Excuse me for going out of order, but I neglected to mention it then, and it's again here too, Mitzvah Lefarsim, because you cannot be Somech on this. The Pischei Tshuva quotes the Yaivitz in Reish Samach Beis, Sif Katan Gimel, that sometimes you have a situation where the bris is taking place close to Shkia. When would you do that? So, parenthetically, someone asked me last time, I forgot what it was, that he was aware of a minig in Eretz Yisrael, that many people had a seuda in the afternoon and the meal in the afternoon. So I told him that I didn't know what that's based on, but I realize now it could be based on Reb Shlomo LeVilna. Reb Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna felt that Rov Amhadras Melech trumps his reason. He had a whole pilpul on how to get out of the Gemara that proves the other way. So maybe that's what they're relying on. I don't know. But the bottom line is that sometimes you'll have it that way. And more often you'll have it because of medically delayed reason. Right? That you want to do it, if you get the clearance 7 days after the medical clearance, so that sometimes takes place late afternoon. So you first do the bris late afternoon. And the moil might have a few jobs that day or get stuck in traffic. So now you're racing against the clock. Shkia is at 6. He shows up at 6:03. No, Yilamdeina Rabbeina, what should you do? Should we delay the bris to tomorrow, or should we do it now? So the Pischei Tshuva quotes, I quoted it before, well, Reish Samach Beis, Sivkot, whatever, I quoted the number before, that do it Bein HaShemashis. Why? Because first of all, it's Bein HaShemashis, so it's a suffix. Second of all, what's the worst that could happen? It's Laila, right? But many Rishonim Paskin that when you do a Mila B'Laila, you Yotzei B'Di'Eved. Right? That was the Shita of the Rosh, according to the Beis Yosef and others, so on and so forth. So I thought it's Yaivitz. Wait a second. We can't pass in that way. That doesn't sound straight. So the Sefer Bris, sure enough, he says, that's Rabbi Yaakov Em L'Shitaso. Because he paskins the Mikir Adin, Yotze Abris, B'di'evet Balayla. But that's very questionable, Halacha, because first of all, the Shach required a Tavis Dan Bris. And the Taz required a Tavis Dan Bris, at least L'Chumra. And even if you're not going to go with the Taz and the Shach, even if you're going to go with the Shagas Aryeh, who didn't require a Tavis Dan Bris, but you remember the Lomdus, you're not Yotzei. It's just nothing to do. You can't help it. He doesn't feel that you can't use a Tavis Dan Bris as a substitute Mila. That you only do for an Olad Mol or Gershonis Gai or Kishu Mol. So to risk not being Yotzei to Mitzvah? Of course not. So the Halacha, that's where you're Paskin. I verify this in the contemporary Sfarim that we do not Paskin like that Yaivitz. Little questionable why the Pischei Tshuva quoted that without any cholek when it's based on very questionable premises that the Yaivitz himself held that other posts can disagree with. So again, halacha l'maisa, if a bris is delayed to Bein HaShemashos, you have no breira but to push it off till the next day. Again, maybe if you ask Moshe Feinstein and you have Rabbeinu Tam in your orbit, maybe they allow you to do it within 9 minutes, a sveksveka. But I don't know if it's so kedai to, you know, with a hefsek tara, you know, so you don't want to delay the mikveh. You don't want the stakes are also high, but the stakes are high the other way, that you're not going to have it won't be Yotzei Mila, according to some Rishonim. Lamaisa, we don't do that. So, again, depending who you ask, a second after Shkia, you won't do it, or maybe a minute. Some posts can have it, it's a few minutes after Shkia, they still consider it to be day. But this most straightforward psak in that case would be right after Shkia, not to do the bris. Okay, that's close parenthesis. I'm sorry for the tangent. Let's get back now to the other Bein HaShemashos kinds of topics. So, the most delayed bris is recorded by the Mechaber in Si'if Ches, basically a Mishnah in Reb Lezer Demila, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin, is if you have the following situation. Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday and Friday. And the child is born the previous Wednesday, Thursday, Bein HaShemashos. So now followed a bouncing Mila here. So you can't do it the next Wednesday because that might be day 7. You can't do it on Rosh Hashanah because that's already maybe a suffix Shalobizmana. And you can't be Docha Yomtiv Shalobizmana. You can't do it on day 2 of Rosh Hashanah because it's also Yomtiv. You can't do it on Shabbos because then it's Vaday Shalobizmana. And parenthetically, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is also Vaday Shalobizmana. So you do it Sunday. So that's Yesh Nimol Le, what's that called? Le Yud Aleph. Because, yeah, it's whatever. Okay, work out the math. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yud Beis, I think. Yesh Nimol Yud Beis. That's the most delayed bris. How far do you take that? So the Gemara, the Mishnah only mentioned Rosh Hashanah. How come it didn't mention Yom Tov? So the Rambam writes, it didn't mention Yom Tov because the halacha is not true on Yom Tov. When it comes to Yom Tov, so you're not going to do the bris on day one of Yom Tov, but you will do the bris on day two of Yom Tov because the mitzvah d'oraisa of Mila is going to put, even Shalom Bizmana, even Vadai Shalom Bizmana, is going to push aside the Isser of Yom Tov Sheni. And it's only Rosh Hashanah, which Chazal wa Machmaran, Kedusha Achas, Yom Arichta, that you can't do. So the Mishnah was very precise in its phraseology. The Rosh and other Rishonim paskin that the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. So from the perspective of the Mishnah, that was the only holiday that had 2 days of Yom Tov. But any other holiday, the halacha would be the same in Chutz La'aretz, but we don't have 2 days of Yom Tov. Parenthetically, that's where the famous, I think that's where it is, the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor holds that even in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, there's only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah was pointing out there might be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael, but sometimes there won't be. I don't know if it's here or elsewhere, but there is such a Baal Amor. But the Maisa, so nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, obviously it only applies to Rosh Hashanah, because then there are 2 days. We don't pass like that Baal Amor. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's a machlokas in the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam says that Mila Shalom Bizmana is Doche, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli is outside of Rosh Hashanah, and the Rosh holds no. The Shach in Sif Katan Ches paskins like the Rambam. And I just want to note, for hopefully all of you, or at least some of you, who are actually going through the material inside, not just relying on the Chazara, it's a misleading Shach. If you didn't see the Rishonim in the original, it sounds like from the Shach that the Rambam might theoretically hold the same is true for Rosh Hashanah. It's not true. The Rambam only holds this for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. That's not Rosh Hashanah. Because it's based on that whole reading of the Mishnah, as I said. Again, if you didn't see the whole background, the Shach is very much Bekitzer, but that's what it's based on. The Shach paskins like the Rambam. Rova poskim paskind like the Shulchan Aruch, who paskind like the Rosh. And as recorded by the Pesachei Tshuva, this is the Pesach of Noi Behuda, it's the Pesach of the Chassam Sofer, the Pesachei Tshuvas in Orach Chaim Shin Lamed Aleph, which parenthetically is a parallel simon dealing with Mila B'Shabbos in Orach Chaim, a lot of the same halachas, and you also have Mishnah Brewer there, so Be'er Halacha. It's also a good Chazara there for the Shabbos and Yonim. So they paskin all against the Shach, like the Shulchan Aruch, that we paskin like the Rosh. And we will not be docha even Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias for a Mila Shelo Bizmana. For a Mila Bizmana, of course, we're docha Shabbos for that, but not Mila Shelo Bizmana. However, there is the following hachra of the Noda Behuda and the Chassam Sofer for two different reasons. The reasons I'm not going to go into to save time, but you look in the Pesachei Tshuva for that. That if you have a Suffolk Mila Bizmana, Suffolk Mila Shelo Bizmana, meaning Suffolk 8, Suffolk 9, so then you will be docha Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Meaning, if you have, let's say, a Yom Tov on Wednesday and Thursday. Let's say this year, Shavuos is Wednesday, Thursday, right? The baby's born the previous week between Wednesday and Thursday. So now, Wednesday, of course you can't do the bris, because that's Suffolk Shvi, Suffolk Shmini. So you can't be, and you can't be docha Yom Tov for that, plus it might be Shvi. But you could do the bris, according to the Noda Behuda and the Chassam Sofer, on Thursday. Okay, I'll just quote one of the nimukim that's given. It's a svek sveka. Right? There's Bein Hashmashis is one suffix, and Yom Tov Sheni is another suffix. Then there are other reasons. That's the Nebuchadnezzar's reason. The Chassam Sofer gives a different reason. Now, whether or not we follow that is a machlokis poskes manenu. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes many poskim who say that we do follow. That we follow Nebuchadnezzar's Chassam Sofer. Suffix Bein Hashmashis of the previous week, we will do a bris on Yom Tov Sheni, suffix Bizmano. And others say, no, we never do it. The simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is against the Noda Behuda and the Chassam Sofer, because the Shulchan Aruch writes, V'chein eino docha Yom Tov mi safek. Okay. V'afil Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. What? Afil Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias einam dochim even mi safek, or afil Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias we don't do a Mila Shel Bizmana. The simple reading of the Mechaber the first way. But the Noda Behuda and the Chassam Sofer paskin not that way, and many poskim, as evidenced by the Pesachei Tshuva, says that's the way we would follow. Of course, it's not going to come up that often, but when it does, so if you're a rabbi in residence, so you got to know the halacha or at least have a good phone number. Okay. The definition of lay that we already discussed, and that's relevant for Shabbos as well. We noted that some are machmer for that for Shabbos, that whether it's yitzias, rov ha-rosh, which is either a full patachas, or rov ha-patachas of the forehead for a regular birth, or rov ha-guf for a backwards birth, a breech baby, whether that's yitzia min ha-rechem, into the outer chamber, the pros door, or is it lavra olam? Ikra din lavra olam, some are machmir. So if you have a birth at the wire, it's some are choshesh, that the birth, you know, let's say the head came out mamish a second after tzeis kuchavim, so if you're choshesh for the other shita, then the head was already in the canal, you know, a few minutes earlier. So, okay. But I got the impression that people are not machmir for that, but Rabbi Shechtin implied on tape that some are, so. Okay. There is a discussion about 7th month, 8 month, 9 month babies. It's not really halacha l'maisa nowadays. We assume that the baby's in the incubator, so we got to delay the bris for that reason. So it's not shaykh to talk about chil Shabbos for such a bris. It's all shalom b'zmana. And you're certainly going to be mechal Shabbos to save a baby who's 8 month too, because either nishtanu atvoyim, or nishtanu yediyas ateva, whichever approach you're going to take. But l'maisa, it's not so l'maisa, so we're not going to dwell on it. The following children's bris are not docha Shabbos. They take place on day 8, but they're not docha Shabbos. Hatavas dam bris, I think we might have mentioned earlier, is not docha Shabbos, either because it's only a chumrah, because of safik or lakvusha, it's a safik, or maybe the whole halacha of hatavas dam bris is never docha Shabbos. Some curiosity about a child who has two orlos, different days, what that means, if it has two skins, or two evorim, like a, you know, a half Siamese or something, whatever. Androgynous, not Teche Shabbos. And the most common one is the Yotzei Dofen. C-section, especially nowadays, as Rabbi Tendler noted earlier, and a different machzor, you know, every other child is a C-section, because doctors are very nervous. They don't get sued for malpractice. So since more things can go wrong with a regular birth than with a C-section, so they're always C-sectioning the baby. Every other, so if that's the case, it's not Teche Shabbos. So of course, a moyel or a rav who's involved, sometimes the parents might not know. So just the scheduling, you know, I imagine this must have happened more than once where they scheduled a bris on Shabbos, no one bothered asking, and the moyel came along and you have regular birth, right? No, C-section. Everybody go home. So obviously you got a chacham in a brosho to ask these questions in advance. I think my moyel for our children, first regular birth, right? So here I just wanted to share with you the following curious Gemara that might have halacha l'maaseh applications with questionable halacha l'maaseh applications, and that's artificial insemination, because there is Rabbeinu Chananel who interprets Gemara to mean that nisabra be'ambati, which is that strange case the Gemara has about a woman who became pregnant from zera in the mikveh, whatever, the bathtub, relevant for mamzeris issues also, and so on and so forth, and also for artificial insemination. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that such a child's bris is not docha Shabbos. I don't know the whole sugya. I don't know exactly what his makor for that was, but that's Rabbeinu Chananel. So they quote from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's quoted in this forum that quote the pesukim of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that he held that you should be choshesh for Rabbeinu Chananel, because called devar divrei Kabbalah. So I remember a whole give and take between Rabbi Zimmerman, who used to the moil when Rabbi Braunschweig used to give the shiurim for Mila. So someone asked him, so what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to ask the couple if it's a regular conception? So he kind of didn't answer. But Lamaisa, it's a chumrah, because we don't pasken like Rabbeinu Chananel. So if you're not asking, so you're relying on Rav Poskim. But if you are, I don't know how to navigate to that asking. But in any case, there is such a shita that says that an AI fertilization conception would not be docha Shabbos. Of course, but the bris is still on day 8. Why is the bris on day 8 and not docha Shabbos? Because there's a shaila in the Gemara whether you do such a bris on day 1 or day 8. So since it's a suffix, whether you do it on day 1 or day 8, it might be shalom b'zmana day 8 on Shabbos. That's why you don't do it. Okay. What do you do to be mechal Shabbos for the child? So here the Mechaber Paskins in Sif Beis, that you could only be docha Shabbos for the meal itself, not for the machshirim. In other words, machshirei meal that could have been done on Friday have to be done on Friday, and if some way you blew it, and the only way to do it is to be mechal Shabbos now, you're stuck. However, You could tell a goy to do things for you if the iser that you need him to do is a derabbanan. So that would mean you could tell him to carry the knife in a carmelis, and you could tell him to whatever, do certain medical issues that you're going to need for after the bris if it's only a derabbanan, even though you didn't do the bris yet. What if you did the bris, and now you need hachanis, so obviously you got to violate Shabbos, even a deraisa. What if you didn't do the bris, and you realize that once you do it, you're going to need certain things, and then you'll be mechallel Shabbos for it. So can I close my eyes and do the bris and say, ooh, chil Shabbos, I have pekuach nefesh. So now you'll do whatever you have to do. So that's the machlokes Rishonim. It's a famous dispute between the Ramban on the one hand, the Baal HaMor on the other. The Ramban says that ein lecha mitzvah el b'shaita, something like that. The day mitzvah, what's the expression he used? I forgot. Day mitzvah b'shaita. First you do the mitzvah. Then you have pekuach nefesh. Okay, you have pekuach nefesh. The specific example they give, although it can come up in other scenarios too, is the water. In the days of the Gemara, the Mishnah, they used to bathe the baby with hot water afterwards. What if it got poured out before? So you do the bris, you heat up the water, and then bathe the baby, because once you did the bris, you have a head to heat up the water. The Baal HaMor says no, because since you know in advance that you're going to have to put yourself into a situation of Chil Shabbos, you have no right to do so. So you docha the bris till Sunday. So there's a whole Torah here because the Baal HaMor says himself, because the Baal HaMor says that the reason that you're not allowed to go on a boat on Wednesday is because you're going to put yourself into a matzav of Chil Shabbos on Shabbos. And as if you're already floating on Wednesday, that's already called Kami Shabbata, and so you're setting up a situation of Chil Shabbos. But for a mitzvah, you're allowed to go on the boat, says the Gemara. So isn't Mila mitzvah? It's the same lamdas. So they have all these yeshuvim. The Be'er Halacha has a yeshuv and Shin Lamed Aleph, and Rabbi Shechter Shlita had a different yeshuv. Rabbi Palmer gave over that yeshuv at the bris of his son. Okay, so that's Pilpulim. But what's Nagel Yidan is that the Shach Paskin Zachumra, like the Baal HaMor and also the Rashba, that if you know in advance that you're gonna when you do the bris, you're gonna have to Michal Shabbos on a Deraisa, or even a Derabanan. Except for certain derabbanans that they did allow, so then you docha the bris, you don't do the bris. I'm not sure about the derabbanan. I think even a derabbanan. Okay, there are also the details about how they prepare these machshirim, but a lot of them they don't do anymore. So, gonna leave it for now. Just mention briefly. Obviously, the bandages have to be cut in advance, gauze, things like that. So the Moalim know all this, and they do different tricks as to how to put the cream on the baby, because they put cream on, you know, a healing cream. So one aid says to prepare the pre-creamed gauze pads in advance, and the other aid says just to squeeze it on without smearing and let the band-aid do the trick. That's the issues that come up then. We mentioned already about Milam Priya Vasachas, right? That there are some at a pick book that you can't do Milam Priya Vasachas on Shabbos, because when you probe to pry off the Ora Priya from the Atara, you might cause bleeding. So many poskim allowed it because it's not a psik resha, and because may that's called tzarech hamila. That's better than machshirim, because it's right before the chitur. I'm not going to go through the details of the chotzer lechotzer gag legag. That's more relevant to erevin. But if you want to chazer a little bit of something we learned in erevin, so you have that over here. Here is the makor that you're allowed to tell a goy to do a derabbanan for you. That's the sugya. About telling a goy, so that's a whole machlokes rishonim. Can you tell a goy to do a deraisa? Can you tell a goy to do a derabbanan? Can you tell a goy only to violate Shabbos when we're dealing with mila? Because that's a mitzvah rabba. La halacha, we hold that you could tell a goy to do a derabbanan, even for mila, and you know, if you can't do a deraisa even for mila, and you could do a derabbanan with a goy for other mitzvahs too. But this is the makor of shuvas the makor mitzvah. So you could certainly tell the goy to carry the knife in a karmelis. Of course, that's going to depend on Hilchos Erevin to determine whether our streets are Rosh Hashanah or a karmelis. Can you tell the goy to carry the baby to shul and then carry him back? So the Taz says yes. That's also a Shavuos Teshuvos and Malka Mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah says no. Why should you have the goy to two violations of the Rabbanan? Just have the moil come to him, and even if the knife's not there, so have the goy carry the knife, and then he'll leave it there till after Shabbos. So some rely on this Taz, and they carry the baby to and from shul on Shabbos, even if you live in an area without an Erev, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins that you should not rely on this Taz, that you should have the bris at home when you have a bris on Shabbos in a place where there's no Erev. One final halacha that's relevant to Shabbos, and then we'll turn to Hilchos Geiros, is the issue of Muktzah. The Mila knife is a kli shemalachta leisur. It's one of the classic kli shemalachta leisur. Kalim shemalachta leisur. It's an izamel shel mila, and obviously the moral doesn't want you to chop steak with it because it's going to take away the sharpness of it, and for other reasons too. So the question is, what do you do with the knife after the mila? Obviously, you could touch the muktzah when you're doing the bris. That's even the ma'isachil Shabbos of the chitoch is doicha. So of course the holding of a knife, it's not machshirin, it's the mice itself. But what do you do afterwards? So here we have we'll call it a three-way machlokis plus. The Ramah writes that the knife's not muktzah because the moel designated it for bris this Shabbos. So again, my understanding of the Ramah, although this is not the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding of the Ramah, my understanding of the Ramah is just like you have an ability to designate dirt to make it not muktzah, which parenthetically they do by mila too, because they have dirt that they put the or ha-orla into. Rabbi Billet spoke about that, based on a medrash concerning Bilam. So you could also designate things that are kalim normally would be muktzah, machlis aren't kiss. So this Shabbos is designated as a non-muktzah item, because I could do the mila this Shabbos. Again, it's not exactly identical, and that's why many I'm a fact make on this Ramah, but I thought that was shot in the Ramah. Therefore, the Ramah writes that after the mila, the moel may take the knife and put it wherever he wants. Once he puts it wherever he wants, so then he shouldn't move it anymore. I guess that bursts my havan of it, because if it would be, sounds like from the Ramah that he could, you know, put it wherever he wants, even in the chatzer, but it'd get the impression from the Ramah that you should not carry it after that. If the pshat is like I understood, that it's just not muktzah that Shabbos, so you should be able to move it even after that. All right, whatever the pshat in the Ramah is, that's his psak. That you can move wherever you want, even to the chotzer. The Taz and the Gra, they both argue on the Ramah and say you can't designate a muktzah machtis aron kis to make it not muktzah, and therefore it is muktzah. So what do you do? So the Gra says, drop it. And that's the way the Maril paskind. Obviously not, you know, boom. you'll hurt the baby. You'll hurt an onlooker. It means you put it down and that's it. And you know, there is halach and shulchan aruch that if people might get hurt from something, you can move it, but once it's already on the table, so there are going to be other things on the table, a sitter, whatever, so he'll move the table to a corner. The Taz says one better, that he says that he tiru sofo mishum tchiloso, he applies the famous Rosh, based on the Gemara in Beitza, he tiru sofo mishum tchiloso, that if you're not going to let the moel move it, he's not going to do a meal on Shabbos, so you could put it in that room, not in that chatzer, meaning a chatzer, because that's the only place you can carry, that was the Pesach de Ramah, in that room. But that's just a leniency. It's not really fundamental. The Ramah was saying something fundamental. And those are the three psakim. The Ramah is paskins even in the chotzer, Taz is in the room, and the Maril paskins drop it. The Shach paskins like the Ramah. So Allah l'maisa, what do? So the Mishnah Berurah says if you're stuck, you could certainly follow the Taz. And there's even grounds for following the Ramah as well. The Magen Avraham writes, keep it in your hand, and then put it down wherever you want to, because that's the Magen Avraham Shitaso. That even if by mistake you picked up real muktzah, you're allowed to put it wherever you want. So here you had it beheter, so you can put it wherever you want. The Gra doesn't go that way, because the Gra holds the Magen Avraham wrong there too. The Gra holds that the only time you can carry muktzah and put it wherever you want if hischel beheter. But here it was Hitzchel beheter b'isser. It's muktzah. You only had a dechia to the bidoch hamila. And the Rebbe Veger gives a nice pshat. They'll be out to all the sheetahs. Take a pillow, put a sitter on top of it, and then put the mila knife on top of the pillow. So now you have a basis ladava or a mutter v'aoser, and then you carry the pillow wherever you want. Nice eitzah. So I remember the one time in my life, I don't know why, but someone honored me with being a sandik in the summer setting. I guess I was a rabbi in residence, whatever. So they had a chassidus shemoyel, and he had the everything Rabbi Tendler said not to do, so he did, and he had the izemel, not the the scalpel, the izemel, regular izemel, you know, sharpen it, put it in alcohol, etc., whatever, and he had it around his neck. So I asked him afterward, why'd you have it around your neck? So he said it's a shtikel lebiyado, meaning it's like al derech that Magen Avraham. That when he drops it, obviously he has to know how to drop it, that shouldn't stab him in the stomach. But when he drops it, so it remains on his body. So now it's still like connected to him. So then he goes away once and takes it off and puts it away once. So it's al derech that Magen Avraham. That was his chab. Okay. He did Mila, then Priya. And then he took the wine and spit all over the Aver, Mitzisa Bepeh, v'chule. Classic bris, Kimoshin Ogul, for hundreds and hundreds of years. But, okay, there are issues that suggest that maybe we should change that practice. I'm not Chalila knocking either side, but I'm just noting that that was an opportunity to see, you know, me a little way used to be done. Yeah, okay. And I had an eyewitness, you know, a front row seat there, yes. Yeah. So maybe you throw out the garbage, you mean?
Yeah, enough of them, maybe.
That's a good point. I never investigated that angle. That's certainly a good point. On the other hand, maybe you could say it's junk that you can't say, right? Yeah. So it's just a razor blade.
Right.
Okay, but a razor blade you use for what? For cutting people on the surgery table, and for Mila, and for beard, you know. So it'll be klishem lachto le'iser. So you can have more leeway. Okay, it's a very good ha'ara. Okay, the next footnote in the Oseh Bris. I just don't want to comment off the cuff on that. Okay, finally, there's a long shach at the end, which is irrelevant to Shabbos as well. And in that shach, he takes on a taz without quoting him by name. Although he does in the Nakudas of Kesef. And the Taz is earlier in Simen Reish Samach Gimel, Sivkat Gimel. What happens if you have a Mila Shalobis Mana on Thursday? So some Rishonim, he quotes Tashbates, and there are others say the way as well, that you should not do a Mila Shalobis Mana on Thursday. Why? Because the Gemara indicates that the greatest pain of Mila is on the third day afterward, or maybe the second as well, but at least until the third. And sometimes you're going to have to be rochet to the baby on such a day also, because that's also a sakana. So if you're going to do the mila on Yom Hei, where it's Shalobis Man anyway, so you're going to be setting up a situation of Chil Shabbos on the Shabbos, or a possible situation. So therefore you should delay the bris until, well, it depends who you go with. If you go with the approach that the sakana is on the third day, so then you push it off till Friday. But the Taz says that no, the Sakana is on the second day and also the third day, so you push it off until Sunday. So the Shach says it's all wrong from beginning to end. If you're going to go with that Tashbait, so he's going with the approach that you can't do it on Thursday, but you push it off to Friday. You don't push it off to Sunday, because the Tashbait's Mestama holds that only the third day is Sakana, not the second day. But Lamaisa, the Shach just rejects all of it. And he says you don't push it off at all. And that's the psak, I believe, of the Mishnah Berurah. I didn't review it this year, but I believe the Mishnah Berurah paskins that way. Rabbi Willig also paskin that way, and there was a rumor that he paskin not that way, and I verified it with him, and he told me that no, he paskins like the Shach. But Rabbi Katzenstein, who he likes to do milas with because he's very reliable, he's machmir like the Taz. So sometimes you have, you know, you're at the mercy of the Moel. Then machmer like the Taz, meaning not to do a Mila Shalobis Mana on Thursday. I'm not sure whether he would do it on Friday or push it off to Sunday, but he doesn't do a Mila Shalobis Mana on Thursday. Obviously, if it's a Mila Bismana, then we do it. Then we don't, and we have to worry about the Chil Shabbos in a different form. I was told by people involved in Batei Din that do Geirus that some Batei Din at least follow the Yavits. The Yavits in Sifkot and Tesvov, Simin Reish Samach Vav of the Pischei Tshuva here makes a achra. Then we're dealing with a Mila Shalobis Mana that was pushed off because of refuah. So then, follow the Shach. Do it on Thursday. But if you're dealing with a ger, okay. So you schedule when you want. Whenever you want to do the Mila. So do the Mila. There's nothing rushing you. There is an idea of Shehuyi Mitzvah Lo Mashinon, but that's less less intense than delaying a bris. So samachoshesh not to do a mila of a ger on a Thursday because of this reason. Yeah.
Based on the machlokas Ramban Balmor, they put it before about being doing mila on Shabbos, even though you have to help with Shabbos. So why should it make a difference on Thursday if it's bismana or bismana?
Right. So apparently, I was thinking about that, but apparently, since the Torah says b'yamashmini yom saralos, you make a distinction. So the Torah itself was mataros at least in the case of a Thursday with Shabbos to do it on Thursday. But the Torah never was Megalatos, and hence the Balamar is Hishita, that when you didn't do your homework on Shabbos. Okay. Good, let's begin Hilchos Geirus. It's going to go at least till 5 today, boy. I'm sorry, I can't do better. Yeah.
Would this whole discussion apply to a Yotzi Dofen also on Thursday? Or?
A Yotzi Dofen on Thursday. Because it might be Shalobis Mana.
Right.
Okay. I guess. It's Safik Shalobis Mana. That's a good point. The state